Be seated as the kids head out to have some fun time, some summer Sunday school time with Rachel and helpers. As the kids head out, just one further announcement, it's a request. Salem is welcoming family members from South Africa. They are coming this Wednesday. Salem has worked diligently on sponsorship of this group of people. And we are seeking another vehicle to help do some transporting from the Toronto airport. The arrival time is at 11:30 on Wednesday. If you're able to support that, you can talk to me today and then I'll connect you with Salem about that. Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, Lord, our rock and our redeemer. God, we welcome you here. We invite your spirit to come in fullness. God, I pray that we would be a people who can settle into listening to your word and letting it settle within us. God, thank you that you are a God of encouragement. You are a God of closeness. God, that your word breaks forth and brings light and hope and healing and deliverance, God. Help us to hear this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. This morning we're talking about praying God's word. And the focus of this is exactly what that is. How do we pray the words of Scripture? How do we use the words of Scripture as our prayer, as words of blessing, as words of encouragement, and as words of correction? And so often in today's message, you will be hearing words of Scripture. I'm not going to stop and give the reference to the Scripture. As Kathy welcomed us this morning, she took many different scriptures on entering worship with song, and she blended them all together to come up with this word of encouragement and welcome to us. And so as you listen this morning, I will let you know when I'm reading from the Word of God, but know that oftentimes the Word of God are blending together to become passages that can be read over us together. As we listen this morning, I encourage us to think of what our posture is when we're listening. One of our songs said this morning that we're breathing in and we're breathing out. And so that's one way that we can breathe in God's Scripture. And as we breathe in God's Scripture, we can either be breathing out praise or we can be breathing out something that is holding on to us that we need to be releasing. And we can release that through the breath. We also can talk about our posture of being in a posture of receiving. And so when Scripture is read over us or given to us, we are wise to be able to say we receive this. Oftentimes, we might be holding too tightly to something that is hard or something that is in our way, or we might say, I'm not able to receive that yet. But when we actually physically change our posture over to a time of receiving, while we're sitting or someone is speaking to us, that is one of the ways that God, we allow ourselves, our minds and our hearts and our being to receive the Word of God. And so I begin with God's Word over us. You might want to take a deep breath. You're welcome to close your eyes. You're welcome to put your palms up. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in my heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. You are precious and honored in my sight, and I love you. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. My walls are ever before me. I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. I've loved you the way my Father has loved me. Make yourselves at home in my love. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Amen. Let us further listen together as God's word speaks about God's word. It says this, "Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts. Therefore, I hate every wrong path. By your words, I can see where I'm going. They throw a beam of light on my dark path. I've committed myself, and I'll never turn back from living by your righteous order. Everything's falling apart in me, God. Put me together again in your word." God's word speaks further to the value of Scripture in our lives. It says, "I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. I am a stranger on earth. Do not hide your commands from me. My soul is consumed with longing for your laws at all times. Your statutes are my delight. They are my counselors. I am laid low in the dust. Preserve my life according to your word. Cause me to understand the way of your precepts, that I may meditate on your wonderful deeds. My soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Keep me from deceitful ways. Be gracious to me and teach me your law. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I have set my heart on your laws. I hold fast to your statutes, Lord. Do not let me be put to shame. I run in the paths of your commands, for you have broadened my understanding. Teach me, Lord, the way of your decrees, that I may follow it to the end. Give me an understanding so that I may keep your law and obey it with all my heart." All the words I've said that I've spoken so far this morning are words from God. They are God's word. And I have the great joy of delivering them to you. The words you have heard and the words that hopefully you are receiving as God's words to you are words meant to inspire you, to encourage you, to guide you, to be your strength. These words, they are inspired by God. They are God's inspired words that speak to each of us, and they speak to us as individuals, and they speak to us as a community of believers. And I am wise on a Sunday morning when I stop and realize that we, as the gathering, are not the only gathered church, but in this community and all across the globe, the Word of God is going out. It is being planted, it is being spoken, and it is hope that it is being received and that it will grow. Because the Bible is God's Word, we know that it has eternal relevance. It speaks to all humankind in every age and in every culture. And so whenever we share a similar life situation or a reaction or an emotion with the first century setting, when you go into the Word of God and you say, oh, I understand how that biblical narrative relates to me, or, oh, I find myself in the same situation as that person in Scripture, we know then that God's Word is the same to them as it is now to us. We share the eternal value of the Word of God. And all throughout the Scripture, we find the blessings from God, and we find the instructions from God, and correction, and comfort, and truths, and words of hope. And again, when we listen to the words that I just spoke from Psalm 119, we can pray them, and when we pray them authentically, they have such rich meaning. Everything's falling apart on me, God. Put me together again in your word. It becomes this prayer of our being to say, all that's going on around me right now, I don't understand. I don't see the way out of it. But I invite you, God, to put me back together again with your word. It also says your statutes, your words, are my delight. They are my counselors. Always at the gathering church, we encourage you to find professional counselors, to find people who can impart to you wisdom of God and care. Those are counselors on our earth. And at the same time, we can go to God's word and use those words as our counsel. Prayer is one of the primary ways in which we share love with God. We stop, and we turn our hearts and our eyes and our ears to God. We stop and we give our attention to God. When we pray God's word, we are taking our thoughts captive and we're making them obedient to Christ. We're taking our thoughts, we're putting them underneath the word of God, and we're saying we want to obey, we want to follow, we want to align with these words of yours, God. In this situation, we are choosing to think God's thoughts about the situation or the person. And we are seeking the Word of God to be revealed to us and to others through our prayers. Bible teacher and author Beth Moore writes, "In praying Scripture, I not only find myself in intimate communication with God, but my mind is being retrained or renew to think his thoughts about my situation rather than my own." And we can extend that to say that our minds are being trained or retrained or renewed to think God's thoughts, God's words about another's situation or the situation that they find themselves in. We don't have to first look to what we think our counsel or our thoughts would be for that other person. We can trust that God's word has a word for them. We are asking God to fill our minds with his thoughts, not our own. A promise in Scripture is that God's word will not return empty. In Isaiah 55, it says, "As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and the bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." When praying Scripture, we are inviting God's word to bring direction and comfort and forgiveness and peace to ourselves and to others. When we pray God's scriptures as intercession, when we pray on behalf of someone else using scripture, we are praying God's truths and promises and strength over them and for them. In 2 Corinthians 1, Paul and Timothy remind the believers to continue to pray for them. And why? And they say, and he did help us, God did help us and saved us from a terrible death. Yes, and we expect God to do it again and again. But you must help us too by praying for us. For much thanks and praise will go to God from you who sees his wonderful answers to your prayers for our safety. So Paul and Timothy are saying, we experience God's protection as we prayed, and we know that we experience God's protection as you prayed. We are continually invited to continue to pray for others. When we speak and pray the scriptures, we are coming into agreement with God and with his power. And then that power is released to answer our prayers. So I can go into scripture and find words to pray for someone. And as I do that, or to pray for myself, and as I do that, I am saying, God, I agree with your word. I agree that your word can meet, will meet me or us in this situation. In scripture, we find expressions of God's deepest desires for us. It's like his love letter to us. When I was reading or practicing reading these verses at the beginning, I wept often when I read about, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palm of my hands. I have loved you with an everlasting love. When I get to speak those words over top of you, God's words to you, it's like a love letter of God's that I get to speak to you. And it brings me to a place of just deep peace and emotion. So in scripture, we find expressions of God's deepest desire for us, of God's attitude towards us, and of God's willingness to be involved with us. The directness of the biblical words, expression of God's desire to be in a loving relationship with us, calls for a response. What we cannot avoid is that the Bible expresses the living word of God. And so as we pray the scripture, we also grow spiritually. We grow in our faith. We grow in our trust. And we learn what God has to say about certain situations. As we pray, or as we speak the word of God over the lives of those whom we are praying, God's word is sent out through us in a prayer to bring healing, to bring encouragement, to bring peace, and to bring deliverance. But how might this look in our lives? Over the past few weeks, a few people that I care for have experienced very difficult situations. And it's common for me to hear of people's sorrows and hardships and to sit with them. And often prayer and scripture provide that strength and hope for the person and also for myself as walking alongside. But there are a couple situations lately that may be just incredibly sad. I would say despondent. And I walked around my house saying, no, no, God, no, please, no. And for a few hours, my heart was broken. And my sleep was interrupted with this sorrow that just felt like an incredibly weighty burden. I was praying for God's comfort, but I couldn't find it, or maybe I just wasn't ready to receive it yet. These situations felt just too hard. The situations that one I felt should never have to experience. And as I was thinking about it, I thought, I must, in my mind, categorize sorrows and hardship. And so many sorrows and hardship fit within a box, a boundary that I must set. And these ones were way outside of it. And so it toppled me. And I just couldn't seem to find God within that. But as I grieve for these people and these situations, slowly God brought his words to my mind. And slowly this despondency began to lift. The deep sadness remained, and it still remains, and I'm okay with that because these are situations of great sadness. But with this sadness became a measure of God's hope. This hope came purely from God's word. I had no words of my own to pray yet. God's word became my prayers of comfort and of strength and of blessing. And I prayed them to fill my mind with God's words and to invite God to be active and present in my life and also to be active and present in the lives of those who are suffering. And these are the prayers, these are the words from Scripture that I use. And I'm going to read them as I prayed them. God, thank you that even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like day, for darkness is as light to you. Even the darkness, God, will not be dark to you. The night will shine like day. Thank you that you promise, for darkness is as light to you. God, thank you that your word promises that the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. God, thank you that you are close to these people that I love and who are suffering. And God, thank you that the Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. Give them strength to call on you. Thank you, God, that you are my rock, my rescuer, my defense and fortress. God, thank you that you are their rock, their rescuer, their defense, and their fortress. Help them and me not to be tense with fear in this time of trouble. Thank you, God, that you promise that in the day of my trouble, I will call upon you, for you will answer me. God, give them strength in this, their day of trouble. May they call upon you, and may you answer them as you promise. And God, thank you for this beautiful picture promise of how you are with them now. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tents, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, will I seek. And as I prayed God's word over the people, my human thoughts and my human fears and my despair became smaller as God's word and promises filled my mind and my mouth as I prayed. My fears were taken over by God's promises. And it's when we're praying God's scripture that that happens, that what we think as human beings bound to this earth, those things shrink and we allow for God's fullness to grow. It's like that scripture where it talks about the tree planted by water. It's always in full bloom. It doesn't wither in any season. I then sent those who were suffering God's words as a prayer for them, believing that hope and strength would be released in them as they too remembered and trusted in God's promises. And then what happens as God's word is delivered as us as a vessel and it lands in and over people, it doesn't demand their strength because the word comes. It's not asking them to go seeking and finding, because sometimes in our days of trouble, we don't have the energy to go and seek and find. But God's word comes and it welcomes God's promises and faith and strength. And so we can pray God's words for others and God's words for ourselves. The beautiful thing about Scripture is that Scripture speaks to all situations and to all emotions that we encounter. There is nothing that we will experience that cannot be found in Scripture, that words will not meet the places that we find ourselves in. And for an example, when we feel that we are lacking wisdom, we can pray James 1:5. So if I'm seeking wisdom, I would say, God, your word says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, Catherine, you must believe and not doubt, because when you doubt, Catherine, it is like the waves of the sea will blow you and toss you like the wind. And that's how I can go and ask for God's wisdom. Asking for wisdom, learning how to pray it with belief and understanding that if it's a weak prayer, if I'm really not wanting that, that the picture of me is like bouncing all over the waves that are tossing me back and forth. And I leave from that prayer in a posture of receiving and saying, God, now that I have prayed what you invite me to pray through your word, I will trust that you will give wisdom into this situation. When we are afraid, praying often means that we need to be vulnerable. To pray when we are afraid is to seek God's care, his guidance, his encouragement, and peace. And prayer becomes an act of trust. It's placing faith in the fact that God is real, that God is love, and that God responds to our cries. Prayer is trusting despite the present fear and the present anxiety. When you and I are anxious or afraid, we are wise to let God's words draw us close to him. We could use Psalm 46. God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Therefore, I will not fear. Though the earth give away and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with surging, God says, Catherine, gathering church, be still and know that I am God. When I have sinned, I use God's word as a promise of forgiveness and a new beginning. Often it is God's word that draws me to this place of confession. Of late, I can find my tongue to be a judgmental tongue. And what draws me into a confession place is, Catherine, let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, only that which is good for building others up. It draws me to a place before God when I can say, God, I am not living within the way that you desire me to be. And I use John, 1 John 1:9, and I say, God, thank you that when I confess my sin, that you are faithful and you are just, and you will forgive my sin and purify me from all unrighteousness. I receive this new beginning. Romans 8:1-12 says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. You are no longer condemned, Catherine, Andy, Jill. If you feel any condemnation from God, it is a lie, an accusation from the enemy. Claim your rights and remind yourself that you are free in Christ. And I may need to say that over and over again and tell my spirit, my mind, allow that to become my truth. You, Catherine, are no longer condemned. God, thank you that I am no longer condemned. If I feel condemned, God, this is not from you, it is a lie. Thank you that I am no longer condemned. We use the word of God to press out what our human mind may be thinking and holding on to. Recently, a wonderful gift of Scripture, a reminder from God's Word, was "The joy of the Lord is your strength, Catherine." It was from Nehemiah 8:10. And this came again in the midst of what felt like a season of heavy care of others, of hearing situations of people where there was much sorrow and brokenness and hard. And as I was going down underneath it, God said to me, "Catherine, remember, the joy of the Lord is your strength." And as I thought more and more about that, I believe, yes, that was a promise that God has given me throughout my lifetime. And as he reminded me of that, what he reminded me of is, be where I have called you to be. Be amongst, be with those I have invited you to be with. But as you go, remember, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And you can laugh, and you can play, and you can be joyful, and you can enjoy time with Terry. That is not meaning that you are not caring for those who are in sorrowful places. Just a couple things as we go that you might take with you. Earlier, I talked about posture. One way that we can bring the Word of God into our moment is when we are experiencing something negative or hard, our posturing is often clenching of our fists. And if we can take a deep breath and unclench our fists, we can name God's truths into that place of our fists being clenched. So if I could say, for example, that I am distraught, and I'm holding this sense of distraught, I can open up my hands and say, God, Jesus says, "My peace I give you, my peace I leave with you." So I'm clenching, I'm naming what I'm holding on to tightly, what is hard. And as I open up and take a breath, I pray God's words to be that which fills those places. It's a way of being mindful. It's a way of praying to God. We also can talk about asking what we want to pray out of us. And we can do that by being in a sitting posture and putting our hands palm down on our thigh. And we actually press out what we don't want. And we stop and pause and invite God to fill that place. Many of you have heard me in my marriage with Terry, that Philippians 4:8 becomes a real verse of modeling. And it says, "Therefore, whatever is pure, whatever is praiseworthy, whatever is excellent, whatever is honorable, think on these things." So if I find myself frustrated with Terry, it's not where I want to be as a loving wife. On my office wall, I have a quote that says, "When a house is divided, it can't stand together." And so I know that. I don't want to be divided. And so I press out what I feel frustrated at about Terry. And when I turn my hands over, I invite Philippians 4:8 to be my guide, and I think, whatever is pure about Terry, whatever is noble about Terry, whatever is excellent about Terry, and I'm filling my mind and my heart and my attitude towards Terry then with God's words and God's thought and God's love towards Terry. This is not a snap. It's not quick. So when I feel like I have a lot of worry, I'm inviting God to answer. What would he replace this with? And it won't be the same for all of us. And so we sit with God and we wait. Some of us might say, "Oh, Catherine, you're asking me to pray God's word, but I don't know it that well. I don't know if it will come to mind." That is the mystery of God. That when we invite God to speak to us, he always uses his word. And so I don't have all of Scripture memorized. If I receive a word and I want to understand it fully, I go to a concordance, I go to Bible Gateway on the computer, and I search up, where is this word found in Scripture? And I read until I find a verse that I believe God was speaking. I also encourage each of us to take Scripture, to open up the Word of God and to say, how might I pray this Word of God over myself or over the lives of others, over our family, over our city? And so we say, how can these words, God, be your words to me and to others? God's Word is alive and it is active and it is beautiful. And my hope is that as you go into God's Word, you will let God's word come over and into you, and then will you be a vessel to pray God's word in and over other people? Let's pray. And the band can come up. I pray the words from Matthew 7, where Jesus says, "These words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They are foundational words, words to build a life on. If you work these words into your life, you are like a smart carpenter who builds his house on solid rock. Rain poured down, the river flooded, a tornado hit, but nothing moved that house. It was fixed to the rock. But if you use my words in Bible studies and don't work them into your life, you are like a foolish carpenter who built his house on the sandy beach. When a storm rolled in and the waves came up, it collapsed like a house of cards." God, as we have heard words from you, as we've heard your words this morning, I pray that they will be like a gentle spring rain. It will keep falling and soaking into us, reviving the places that are dry, filling us like fresh flowing rivers, leading us to you, God. Help us desire to be wise builders, to use your words as foundations of our lives. And God, as we become your vessels, as we are a missional people, may your words go out of us, and may they land also like a sweet and gentle spring rain on those who you call us to teach and to bless. We thank you, God. Amen.
Closing song, I invite you to stand if you're able.
Morgan, can I have you put up the last slide? We are going to read this blessing together. And as you read this blessing, I want you to think about this word of God going out to those people who are standing around you. And so we use God's word as a vessel of encouragement. Let's read together. Now to him who is able to do Go in peace this week. If you'd like prayer, I can meet you at the front.